Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, June 11th, 2020. Front page. New Bonham Principal hosts Meet and Greet by Ruth Campbell. R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Partly because it reminds her of her hometown of Little Rock, Arkansas, Marika Austin is excited about coming to live and work in Odessa. Austin will be the new principal at Bonham Middle School starting July 1st. Approved by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees Tuesday night, she hosted a meet and greet in the campus library Wednesday afternoon. She gave some information about herself and then invited those attending to ask her questions. She replaces Mitch Gehrig. Austin moved to Texas about 15 years ago and will be relocating from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where she was a middle school principal at Irma Marsh Middle School in Castleberry ISD. I have served in several capacities in education: teacher, department chair, assistant principal, curriculum coordinator at the district level, and principal. And I just want to say I am super excited about being here in West Texas, Austin said. I know a lot of people are thinking, how can somebody be excited about West Texas? But, you know, it reminds me a little bit of home. Little Rock, Arkansas. From what she's learned so far, Austin said the family and community are top priorities here, as they are for her, so she already feels welcome. And also, I'm excited about the work that we get to do for students. I have a heart for kiddos. I had a lot of challenges when I was in school, but there was an educator that really championed for me. And so I understand the importance of us being that for other students and all types of students. So I'm excited about being able to do that here in West Texas, Austin said. Austin earned a Bachelor of Business Administration in Finance degree from the University of Central Arkansas and a Master of Business Administration and a Master of Educational Leadership from Dallas Baptist University. I worked in finance before transitioning into education for about 6 years, and my philanthropic work was with students, so mentoring at the church, I was a youth coordinator, a youth leader. I started my own nonprofit organization called Youth Equipped to Prosper, where we ran a collegiate prep program. We did college tours. It's always been my passion, and I just, again, like I talked about, married my passion with being able to prepare kids to achieve high levels of success. So I got the best of both worlds, Austin said. She did personal finance, retirement finance, investment finance, and financial advising. Starting her 11th year in education, Austin has spent most of her career in administration. I have enjoyed every aspect of working in education, building relationships with kids, really helping kids see their full potential. It does not matter what your background is or where you come from, you can achieve, and I can say that because that's what I experienced, Austin said. I came from a single-parent home and struggled as a kid. There were even people that didn't believe in me. There were even educators that didn't believe in me. But the one educator that did believe in me, I still have contact with her today. She was my assistant principal in middle school, and she really just poured into me and reached out to me, she added. What made her decide on ECISD were partly her colleagues in the Fort Worth area. Many of them came from this area, so she heard about Snyder, LaMisa, and Lubbock, among other spots. I only know about those places because they talked about it, and when they talked about them with respect to it being home, Austin said. She said Odessa has a small-town home feeling about it. That's the way I grew up, she said. As far as Bonham, the excitement, the positive energy that everybody has here, it's contagious. So I'm ready to just connect and get that electrifying spark so that we send it out to the kids, out to the community, and rebrand. One of the things she said she is adamant about is collaboration. So I really want to get the heartbeat and the pulse of the individuals that are here. But the main thing that I think is very important is to rebrand. I've heard nothing but great things about the educators that are here. I've heard nothing but great things about the students. And now it's time for us to get the word out so the community knows. And I know that there's been some challenges in the past, but that doesn't define what we're capable of accomplishing in the future, Austin said. Executive Director of Secondary Education Robert Cedillo said, Austin brings a lot of energy to the job. She has the ability to bring a sense of community, Cedillo said. Her communication skills with teachers, students, and parents are strong. She has the ability to establish clear goals and keep those goals in the forefront of the school's attention. Bonham has been an underperforming campus for 5 years. It has 1,110 students and 75 teachers, Cedillo said. I truly believe she has the skills and ability to move that campus into a high-achieving school, Cedillo added. The ECISD homepage, HectorCountyISD.org. Protesters demand trustees' resignation. OA News at OAOA.com. Although he wasn't in attendance at the Hector County ISD Board of Trustees workshop, Doyle Woodall was the subject of a protest and comments during the meeting Tuesday. Woodall has been under fire recently for Facebook posts that some consider offensive. He said earlier Tuesday that he couldn't attend the board meeting because his mother just got out of the hospital and he had to stay with her. Trustee Tammy Hawkins did not attend due to the death of her father. Because he wasn't there, some protesters and speakers who didn't comment Tuesday will be back for the June 16th meeting. The postings, including a noose with the words, "If we want to make America great again, we will have to make evil people fear punishment again." Nazi offer with, "It's not murder, Jews aren't actually people." And another photo next to it of a pregnant woman with, "It's not murder, babies aren't actually people," next to it. Another shows a large group of Muslims in prayer and says, "Spill a few gallons of bacon grease on that street and it would clear out fast," followed by three American flags. The comment below says, "This is not Saudi Arabia. This is Sweet Home Birmingham, Alabama. Nervous yet?" Protesters brought signs with the messages blown up and stood outside the administration building saying what was on their signs and then, "Our kids deserve more." McKenzie Campos, an incoming junior at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, said an old cheer coach of hers noticed she was vocal about Black Lives Matter and asked if she wanted to attend the protest Tuesday with her mother. "It honestly does make me sick seeing the Islamophobia or racism postings as a school board member because when I go to school, I don't want to see racism and stuff from people who are supposed to have a good influence on it. As someone who doesn't experience that, I'm very lucky," Campos said. But putting herself in the shoes of someone who was that race or religion, it made her feel bad. I feel bad for everyone who looks at these posts. I want him out, Campos said. In his opening remarks, Superintendent Scott Murray talked about the images of protests related to the death of George Floyd in Minnesota at the hands of police. For the last 2 weeks, Murray said, we have seen images from across the country of protests born out of anger, frustration, and resentment. Our communities of color, particularly the black community, find themselves in a daily battle against institutional racism, economic discrepancies, and educational disparity. The death of George Floyd, caught in video for the world to see, was pure disregard for a man's life, and we share in the outrage being expressed all across our country. The fact that it was just the most recent example of brutality towards a black man, for no other reason than racial prejudice, only intensifies our anger. We believe black lives matter. We have audience members here tonight in the boardroom, others that are watching from different areas of the administration building, and many more in front of our building tonight, peacefully protesting hurtful, insulting Facebook posts made by a member of our very own board. There is no place for discrimination in our schools. I'll say that again. There is no place for discrimination in ECISD, Murray said. In January, Murray said the board got a report that showed a disproportionate percentage of alternative school punishments are African-American students. Although black students only represent 4% of the ECISD student population, they represent 47% of those alternative school placements, Murray said. In STAR test math performance, white students pass at a rate of 71%, Hispanic students 67%, and black students 54%. In writing performance, Murray said, it is 60% for whites, 51% for Hispanics, and 38% for African-American students. In science, the percentages are 79% for white students, 67% for Hispanic students, and 56% for black students. Our new budget allocates more money and more teachers to the schools with the greatest needs. That is budgeting and staffing for equity, and it is the right thing to do for the students of ECISD, Murray said. Our new strategic plan is founded in the principle of providing equity for our kids and ensuring that every student receives the support and encouragement and resources that they need to be successful in whatever academic pursuits they may choose, he added. A task force was established after reviewing the discipline report in January, and they will report to trustees in July, he said. During the public comment part of the meeting, 7 residents spoke to trustees. Michael Smith spoke of his outrage with recent events in our nation, and he called for Woodall's resignation from the school board. Javier Ruiz, president of the local Texas State Teachers Association, National Education Association, spoke to the board about the proposed budget and his appreciation for the raises being presented for the 2020-21 school year. Chuck Eisner, who has been an educator, told school board members he understands that there is no means for the board to remove Woodall, but he hoped that if Woodall remains on the board, he would use his position to promote inclusion. Armita Terran asked trustees when preparing to start school in the time of COVID-19 to consider the situation facing students in portables without immediate access to a bathroom or sinks. Michaela Anang told of her experiences first as a middle school student at Bowie Middle School, then as an employee at Bowie, and she implored district officials to take serious care in the allocation of budget dollars in order to improve the treatment of all students, the board recap said. Esteban Hernandez spoke of his, and many others, deep hurt at the offensive Facebook posts made by a school board member. He told each school board member he wanted to see them publicly call for Woodall's resignation, the recap said. Mia Nelson asked district leaders to take COVID seriously, provide physical, mental, and emotional health support for all students. She also asked leaders to put together a solid, detailed back-to-school plan with contingencies for things that are certain to go wrong, the recap said. The Ector County chapter of the Texas State Teachers Association and NEA issued a statement earlier this week asking for Woodall's resignation. Ruiz said he talked to his board and to the home office in Austin. The board came to consensus and gave direction, so we didn't talk to our members. Ruiz said most of the membership that he has talked to are in agreement that Woodall should resign. But he said there are a few people who support Woodall, and it's their right to, but if they feel that way, it's like I said earlier, maybe they shouldn't be in the classroom as well, because if they're supporting those thoughts, Ruiz said. The Reverend Karen Carlson, pastor of Mackey Chapel United Methodist Church and associate pastor at First United Methodist Church, said every action taken is a witness for the generations to follow. I've heard accountability a lot this past week in Odessa, and so I really feel like tonight was a night to present our voices and our stance for accountability and how that accountability looks for our community to grow and for the kids and the parents to have a stance and a model in order to be strong, Carlson said. She added that there was a grace and purpose to the protest outside the administration building. The board also discussed the 2020-21 budget, tax rates, and property values. The 2019-20 budgeted revenues totaled just more than $299 million, but are now projected to be a little more than $301 million, the recap said. Expenditures for this year are projected to be some $22 million lower than originally budgeted, mostly due to positions that were budgeted but remained vacant all year. This allowed the district to rebuild its fund balance to about 4 months of expenses, which is higher than the state's guidelines of 3 months. Using current financial projections and a reduced estimate of 500 new students for next year, district officials are building a budget for revenues of $307,129,000, if ECISD receives all funding it is supposed to get. District leaders will focus the additional dollars on board priorities like compensation, a cost of living increase for all employees, and equity adjustments for hourly employees and others, additional money for schools with higher numbers of special education, economically disadvantaged, and English as a second language students, investing in pipelines that grow its own leaders, more counselors and more support for counselors, safety and security increases, updating technology so that every student has a digital tool, and facilities improvements like roofs and air conditioners. Officials said they would build a balanced budget from these projections with the ability to adapt as the financial situation changes, the recap said. At the 6 p.m. June 16th meeting, the district will host a public hearing on the budget and the proposed tax rate. A school district's tax rate is broken down into maintenance and operations, which provides the funding for day-to-day operations, and interest and sinking, also called debt service, which provides funding for bond payments. The proposed rate for the coming school year is $1.0547 for maintenance and operations, $0.12322 for interest and sinking. The total tax rate would be $1.17792, which is the same as the current tax rate. Trustees also received an overview of the compensation plan. Some of the highlights are: employees will receive a 2% of midpoint cost of living adjustment plus equity adjustments, where applicable, to bring employees to 90% of market pay. Teachers, librarians, and nurses, RN, will receive a $1,200 cost of living adjustment. The starting salary will be adjusted to $54,250, up $2,250 from the 2019-20 salary schedule. Teachers at steps 1 to 12 will receive additional adjustments to create equity with the starting pay for step 0. Adjustments for this group of employees constitutes approximately 51% of all salary adjustments, the recap said. The board asked the administration to prioritize additional adjustments to hourly employees. Employees on these salary schedules will receive an adjustment above the 2%, ranging from 4% to 5% to the starting pay, the recap said. Starting salaries will increase, and adjustments will be made to current employees based on that adjustment. Adjustments for this group of employees constitutes approximately 32% of all salary adjustments. In addition to salary and the salary adjustments, employees receive an additional $4,560 per year in medical insurance benefits. There will be no increases to insurance premiums, the recap said. The board named new officers who will take their positions next week. The president is now Delma Abalos, vice president is Tammy Hawkins, and Steve Brown is the board secretary. Donna Smith was the president, vice president was Abalos, and Hawkins was the secretary previously. Trustees also approved a recommendation from Murray to hire Ashley Osborne as executive director for talent development, Josette Dobbins as director of purchasing, and Marika Austin as Bonham Middle School principal. Austin had been a middle school principal at Castleberry ISD. She also worked at Arlington ISD, Public Information Officer Mike Adkins said. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 221. Ector County negative, 2,655. Out of 2,953 tested, with 77 pending, 6 deaths. Midland County, 180 confirmed, 13 deaths. Texas, 79,757 confirmed, with 1,348,893 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,885. U.S. cases, 1,973,797 total confirmed, and 112,133 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick Hits. Trade Days. The destination, Midland, 1705 West Industrial Avenue, Midland, has scheduled old lumberyard trade days from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and noon to 4 p.m. Sunday, second weekend of every month, March through November. There will be three buildings of antiques, vintage, retro, and more. Limited vendor space, indoor or outdoor, are available. For more information, call 352-6733 or visit tinyurl.com/YCA368XP. Prom, graduation. Moore's Limo Service has scheduled Odessa Class of 2020 prom graduation reception event from 8 p.m. to midnight Friday at Dos Amigos, 4700 Golder Avenue. Sponsorships are available. Donations are also being accepted to help fund the event. To donate, visit tinyurl.com/YCBF9MXR. For CDC rules and guidelines or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YCSO4WWS. Pride Celebration. West Texas Pride has scheduled the third annual Pride Celebration from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday in Andrews. The event will include swimming at the Andrews City Pool and community potluck and barbecue at Pioneer Park and launching of 1,000 Pride flags on Main Street campaign. The event is open to the public. Donations are currently being accepted and also seeking in-kind sponsors. All donations will be put towards next year's event. For question, message WTP on their Facebook page, tinyurl.com/Y98ZLU64. To donate, visit www.gofundme.com/West-Texas-Pride-2019. Visit tinyurl.com/YBEA2FJP. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted $36.25. Futures $39.60. Natural gas $1.78. Benchmark U.S. rose 66 cents to $39.60 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Helping out. Top, delivering meals to homes, volunteers 10-year-old Nathan Rios and his older brother, 14-year-old Jeremy Rios, look for the apartment they are delivering meals to Wednesday at La Promesa Apartments. Connection Christian Church has had to adapt to changes with COVID-19 concerns, namely delivering the meals to each door instead of the residents meeting at the apartment offices. Middle, volunteer Elizabeth Lozano helps assemble the 70 meals for kids who live at the La Promesa Apartments Wednesday afternoon. Connection Christian Church, with help from the West Texas Food Bank, provides meals 5 days a week to children at La Promesa Apartments. Left, co-pastor of Connection Christian Church, Reverend Don Weeks, puts some books for the kids to read into the bags with meals Wednesday afternoon. Weeks has been the co-pastor at Christ Connection Church for 6 years and has done this food program for the kids at La Promesa ever since. Right, after taking a short water break, brothers 10-year-old Nathan Rios and 14-year-old Jeremy Rios check a map to determine where they need to make their next delivery Wednesday afternoon. The Summer Food Program partnership between the West Texas Food Bank, Connection Christian Church, and the La Promesa Apartments has been providing meals to kids for 6 years. Photos by Ben Powell, Odessa American. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, June 11th, 2020, local and state. Council allocates CDBG funds by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. City Council approved allocating community development block grant funds for multiple community development activities while holding out on some requests for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act during Tuesday night's council meeting. District 2 Councilman Dewey Bryant said some needs can be taken care of with CARES Act money. The CARES Act provides economic assistance for workers and families, small business, and American industries directly affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. CDBG is a federal grant program that funds local community development activities like providing housing, anti-poverty programs, and infrastructure development. The city received $874,693 in CDBG funds for 2020, had $53,015 in unallocated CDBG funds, and also had $269,062 in 2020 Home Investment Partnership Program funds, which is another federal grant program assisting in affordable housing. Although council was able to use $927,708 worth of CDBG funds, the total amount of requests came out to $1,100,770, and the council was short in those requests for some local programs. Community Development Director Marita Sandoval stood in front of council at the PAL gym at Floyd Gwynn Park and requested $150,000 for program administration, $398,395 for housing rehabilitation, $230,000 for demolition, and $30,000 for the elderly and disabled lawn mowing program. She also asked for $40,360 for the Community Housing Development Organization, $26,906 for the Home Program Administration, $101,796 for the Homeowner Rehab Program, and $100,000 for the Housing Infill Program. Council approved her requests in a unanimous vote. Hollingsworth Head Start was given $75,229 of their requested $139,291, and Whitaker Head Start was given $44,084. Programs that were not granted CDBG funds, with council's hope that they would apply for CARES Act money, were the Salvation Army's request of $33,000, Family Promises request of $12,000, and Meals on Wheels request for $64,000. MOW Executive Director Margaret Burton addressed council and said that they are keeping around 570 people in their homes during the pandemic by delivering meals, and they are not doing face-to-face visits because of virus concerns. Prices have gone up, she said. I still don't think you can buy a Subway or hamburger for the cost that we pay, Odessa Regional, which is where MOW gets their food. She asked council to consider her request and said, "We are going to be out of funds in about 3 months. We are not going to make it to October," she said, due to this year's increase in expenses. Burton said that she would apply for the CARES Act, as did a representative from Family Promise, which is a nonprofit that provides shelter, meals, and support services to homeless families. Council members said that although CDBG funds would take a while to receive, CARES Act money could be dispersed much quicker. Bryant added that he wanted to help those programs to apply for the CARES Act who would not be getting CDBG funds. These people need it. I want to make sure they can get it, and I think it is a responsibility on us as a city to help coach them through the process to get this, he said. Local news roundup. Police looking for man in assault. The Odessa Police Department is searching for a man who reportedly struck another man with a pipe multiple times. The reported assault happened at 12:07 a.m. May 27th near the intersection of University Boulevard and Dixie Boulevard, the OPD press release detailed. A 56-year-old complainant reportedly told police that after he got into an argument with a man, the man chased him and struck him multiple times with a pipe before fleeing the scene in an unknown direction. The complainant had injuries on his head, hands, and knees and was transported to a local hospital with serious bodily injury. OPD has released a photo of the suspect that can be seen at tinyur.com/YAAABDES. Anyone with information about the assault is asked to contact Detective D. Rocha at 432-335-4933 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, T-I-P-S, and reference case number 20-0009361. Six sentenced for smuggling Big Bend cacti. A sixth man pleaded guilty Tuesday in federal court to unlawfully trafficking internationally protected cacti to sell to buyers in Europe and Asia, a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service press release detailed. On June 9th, Harry George Bach II, 47, of El Paso, reportedly pleaded guilty on felony charges. Bach agreed through a plea agreement to 3 years of probation, to pay $7,200 in restitution, and to forfeit items seized by the government. On May 26th, William Howard Gorntoe II, 60, of Fort Davis, was sentenced on felony charges to 3 years of probation and to pay $10,800. The other four defendants were sentenced in previous years, which included Paul Arthur Armstrong, 72, of Study Butte, was sentenced for misdemeanor charges in 2016 to 1 year of probation and $25,000 in fines. Mark William Renfield, 61, of Spicewood, was sentenced for felony charges in 2017 to 3 years probation, $18,000 in restitution, and forfeiture of numerous firearms. Morris Ray Carter, 67, of Terlingua, was sentenced for felony charges in 2017 to 3 years probation and $60,000 in restitution. Troy Layton Baker, 46, of Austin, was sentenced for felony charges in 2018 to 3 years probation, $15,804 in restitution, and forfeiture of firearms. These men were part of a smuggling organization that knowingly sold and transported this protected cactus species to buyers in Europe and Asia. Philip Land, special agent in charge for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in the Southwest, said in a statement. The agents involved in the case would tell you that they never expected to investigate a cactus smuggling ring, but this has become a prevalent criminal enterprise globally, and one that is unfortunately very detrimental to the rare cactus species of the American Southwest. The good news is, these sentencings provided precedent in prosecution in similar crimes, and hopefully this will serve as a deterrent to other would-be traffickers so that these plant populations can remain intact, said Land. Our agents teamed up with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Wardens, U.S. Postal Service Inspectors, and National Park Service Rangers, said Land. A great deal of the crime committed in these cases was the violation of customs law. The investigative work done by Homeland Security Investigations special agents was invaluable. The unlawfully trafficking internationally protected cacti is in violation of the Lacey Act, which is a federal law which makes it a felony to engage in the sale or purchase of protected wildlife with a market value in excess of $350, knowing that the wildlife was taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of laws or regulations of any state or of CITES protections. OA News at OAOA.com. Health Department staff doubled. Commissioner's OK Initiative to Help Deal with COVID-19 by Bob Campbell, B-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners Tuesday approved a big beefing up of the County Health Department in an effort to push the COVID-19 pandemic into the category of unpleasant history. Granting a request by Health Department Director Brandy Garcia and Dr. B.A. Genado, the local health authority who helps supervise the department, the court authorized them to hire 15 temporary data entry, case investigation, and contact tracing workers to bolster the 15-person crew that's already in place. Commissioners said the initiative was also a good idea because they have till the end of the year to spend the $2.6 million the county was just awarded under the federal CARES, Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. Garcia reported that 20 new COVID-19 cases had been discovered since late last week, 15 confirmed and 5 probable. County Judge Debbie Hayes asked if some of those were with people who'd been traveling, and Garcia said they had mostly been to places like Dallas, Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. I think we need to get ahead of the curve, said Precinct 2 Commissioner Eddie Shelton. In other business, U.S. Census Bureau Partnership Specialist Charlene McBride of Midland said the 2020 count is in full swing, with Ector County falling well short of the ideal. McBride said 46.4% of Ector County citizens had filled out the form online at census.gov, with 40 to 50% in Odessa and 30 to 40% in unincorporated West Odessa. Political redistricting data must be submitted by July 31st. Noting the pandemic had prompted the Bureau to extend the deadline to October 31st, she said Texas is 40th among the states with a 55.5% self-response rate, while the national average is 60.7%. McBride said local Spanish radio stations have been pitching in to help, especially La Ley 104.7 FM, where manager Ricky Ramos has approved 2 one-hour talk shows about encouraging participation. The court also okayed a $625,000 change order for work on the 9-mile-long West 42nd Street, including the removal of asphalt and placement of an 8-inch flex base and a 1-inch layer of super pavement to augment its longevity. Approved a change order costing $121,883 for improvements on the 5-mile-long West Pawpaw Street, including the replacement of arched piped drainage and the installation of edge-line rumble strips. Approved paying $17,600 for unused compensatory time to employees at the county cemetery at 300 South Dixie Boulevard, with cemetery director Anna Marie Torres saying the department is 2 employees short of a full staff of 6. Appointed Gus Ortega to a 2-year term on the Board of Permia Care, which was previously called the Permian Basin Community Centers. Approved an $11,000 budget amendment for non-departmental health and welfare medical commitments. Okayed a $16,000 budget amendment for road maintenance, improvement, and construction. Renewed governmental entity crime insurance and public entity employment-related liability coverage. Tabled consideration of a law library contract with the LexisNexis Corporation. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, June 11th, 2020. Obituaries. Johnny Fields, Austin. Johnny C. Fields, a man full of God's grace who lived an exemplary life, one that was a tribute to his character and grit, a testament to his compassion and tolerance, humor and wisdom, passed away on June 7, 2020. Johnny was born in Waco, Texas, the son of Johnny and Bernice Fields, on August 23, 1927. He married Dot Sarton during his final year in college in 1950. Survivors include his wife Dot of Austin, 3 children, Cindy McLean and husband John of Trenton, New Jersey, Chuck Fields and wife Susie of Austin, and Debbie Heatley of Marble Falls, 5 grandchildren, 2 step-grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, contributions to Johnny's name may be made to the Lake Travis Education Foundation, P.O. Box 340759, Austin, Texas, 78734. A private service will be held, though a public celebration is anticipated in the fall. Those interested in this later event may contact Fields and Associates to be notified. Arrangements by Weed Corley Fish Funeral Home, Austin, Texas, 512-452-8811. Remembrances may be shared at www.wcfish.com. Robert Kevin Scribner, Odessa. Robert Kevin Scribner of Odessa, Texas, was called to his heavenly home on June 7, 2020. Kevin was born in Odessa, Texas, on February 11, 1959, to Robert Keith Scribner, Jr. and Barbara Ann Nugent Scribner. Kevin was preceded in death by his grandparents, Robert Bob K. Sr. and Nola Scribner, and Elsie, Sonny, and Billy Nugent, and his son, Tyler Keith Scribner. Kevin is survived by his son, Sean Kyle Scribner, and wife, Jennifer, of Plano, Texas, his son's mother, Karen Scribner, his parents, Robert Bob K. Jr. and Barbara Scribner, 2 brothers, Stephen and wife, Lisa Scribner, of Dallas, David Scribner of Odessa, nephew Taylor Scribner and niece Madison Scribner, aunt and uncle David and Ethel Nugent of Orange, California, cousins Todd Nugent and Amy Green, both of California, and many other family members and friends from his journeys, including fellow boat racer Joe Souza of Seattle. A private family memorial service and interment will be at Lawn Haven Cemetery in San Angelo, Texas. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to the Christian charity of your choice. Death Notices. Daniel Weber, Dan Hage, Gardendale. Daniel Weber, Dan Hage, 71, of Gardendale, died Saturday, June 6th, 2020, in Gardendale. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Saturday, June 13th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Danny R. Henry, Odessa. Danny R. Henry, 72, of Odessa, died Saturday, June 6th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., June 11th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Frank Allen Muter, Odessa. Frank Allen Muter, 83, of Odessa, died Friday, May 15th, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, June 12th, 2020, at New Life Church. Pastor Tim Halstead is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Osteoporosis and anxiety meds. Dear Dr. Roach, after several years of acting as a caretaker for my ailing parents and helping them pass, I found myself filled with anxiety, which led to insomnia and troubled sleep. It felt like cortisol was racing through my body way too often. My doctor prescribed Lexapro, 10 milligrams, of which I have been taking 5 milligrams daily. But recently I read that Lexapro and other SSRIs can also cause bone loss. As I have osteoporosis in my spine, I'm now fearful of continuing with Lexapro. I have been on it for 2 months, and it's greatly helped my sleep and pulled me out of any anxious state. But now worry is creeping in again in regard to osteoporosis. My mother had it, so I am genetically predisposed. I'm on robust bone-building supplements and doing weight-bearing exercise crafted specifically for spinal osteoporosis. I walk 3 to 4 miles daily. I now am considering trying the anti-anxiety med Boost Bar for a short time. Do you have any recommendations or thoughts on this in regard to osteoporosis? A.W. Answer. Antidepressants, both Lexapro's SSRI class and an older class called tricyclic antidepressants, do increase fracture risk. However, the major risk of fracture appears not to be from loss of bone density. The timing of fracture, which tends to occur soon after antidepressants are started if it does occur, argues against bone density loss as a cause. One hypothesis is that falls, a known risk when starting an SSRI or tricyclic antidepressant, is the cause of fracture. Weight-bearing exercise and walking help both to increase bone mass and to reduce falls. These are particularly important for a person at risk for fracture due to osteoporosis. Buspar, is an effective medication for anxiety disorders, especially generalized anxiety disorders. However, it is not an effective treatment for depression, and it can be surprisingly difficult sometimes to tell the difference between depression with anxiety as a prominent symptom and a primary anxiety disorder. So I would recommend you have expert evaluation to celebrate these possibilities if considering Buspar. My experience is that Buspar is not quite as effective as SSRIs for anxiety disorders in most people. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach, Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, unequal division of housework puts marriage on stormy path. Dear Abby, I have been married for 7 years and have two beautiful children. My husband and I both work full-time, yet I do almost all of the housework chores. I have asked him repeatedly to help ease my workload and stress by dividing the chores more equally, but my requests are met minimally and temporarily. This has caused arguments, tension, and resentment. He says, "You and I value different things," or, "This isn't what I want to focus on at home," or, "Your standards are too high and have negativity impacted our relationship with our kids." I do ask our kids to clean up routinely because I want them to be active members of this household, and this is how I was raised. It's putting a strain on my marriage and affecting my feelings toward my husband. Do I need to let this go, or are my priorities misplaced? Out of balance in Rhode Island. Dear Out of Balance, from your husband's perspective, why should he have to help with the housework if he can jawbone you into doing the lion's share? Perhaps you should offer him a choice. Participate more, or someone will have to be hired to take some of the burden off your shoulders. As to your children, please stick to your guns. It is important they master basic housekeeping skills so that when they become adults, they will be able to take care of themselves. Few children relish the idea of doing homework, but many of them do it anyway as a way to earn an allowance. Dear Abby, I was happily married to the same woman for 51 years. Jane was married 42 years to the same man. We were both widowed. We hooked up and were enjoying our time together, but after about 3 years, it all changed. Do you believe in split personalities, the Jekyll and Hyde thing? Jane started falsely accusing me of having affairs with other women. The last two women she accused me of being involved with, I don't even know. The accusations have been coming more frequently. One day she's fine, the next day she is accusing me. Jane doesn't like vulgar language, and normally she doesn't use it. But when she's accusing me of communicating with these women, she uses words that would make a sailor blush. A researcher's first guess was the early stages of Alzheimer's. I know she is paranoid, but why? Hates the change in North Carolina. Dear Hates, a personality change such as you have described can be a symptom of Alzheimer's disease. But it can also be caused by small strokes and other dementias. Jane's paranoia could also be a symptom of a physical illness. If she has family, it is very important that you inform them about what's happening so they and you can encourage her to be evaluated physically and neurologically. If you do, it might save not only her life, but also your sanity. Dear Abby, when I was 21, my grandparents told me, "It's better to be loved than to be right." 50 years later, I'm still trying to follow that advice because it's so true. Sometimes it is very hard to practice, but I will never forget those words. Ken in Sherman Oaks, California. Dear Ken, anything that encourages folks to get along better is good advice in my book. People sometimes place too much importance on trying to be right.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Gemini and a moon in Aquarius until 4:32 a.m. when the moon enters Pisces. Happy birthday for Thursday, June 11, 2020. Positively directed and more diligent than others in your Gemini tribe, you are focused on making this year a success. And you do. Some heartache is felt, but your professional life is brilliant. If single, you meet your match after mid-year. If attached, an ease in your love life is experienced together. Balance love with the pleasure that dedication to your career brings, and you will both be happy. Taurus stays loyal no matter what. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. This is a very rare day that augurs a cycle of heightened spiritual energy. You discover more about yourself. It is an introspective time. Old memories and the momentum of past habits will affect you. Tonight, a surprise announcement that changes your plans. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Your social circle widens today. Consider joining an organization you believe in. Contact people who seem interesting or potentially helpful. You will find greater financial gratification as well as see sparkle in relationships. Tonight, your quality of life is improving. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. The accuracy and efficiency of your work wins admiration. Your attention to detail is the secret to success. Welcome new professional horizons and observe how external conditions affect your job. A surprise turns out to be a long-range blessing. Tonight, talk with an elderly relative. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. New publications, a class or discussion with a group delights you. Be tolerant of the religious beliefs of others. It is better to teach by example than to try to convert anyone to your own spiritual path. Tonight, an old friend from far away contacts you. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. You are regenerating on many levels. It is time to dispose of the old to make way for the new. Looking into matters more deeply brings facts to light that change a situation. Tonight, the credibility of a relative or co-worker is involved. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Cooperation and understanding will pay off. Others have new ideas. Be tactful in discussions during which differences arise. Reread contracts during this time. This keeps you out of a commitment that could be too confining. Tonight, dinner with loved ones. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You will be a popular companion and can enjoy combining your social life with serious teamwork. It is a phase of new beginnings. Do not hesitate. Timing is an important factor in how effective you can be. Tonight, refurbish your wardrobe and consider your appearance. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. You create your own good fortune. The mood is fresh and upbeat. Take the initiative in love affairs and indulge in a few risky ventures. Your enthusiasm is magnetic today. You will feel adventurous and can gain valuable experience. Tonight, date night. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. You will concentrate on your home and family life. A family gathering is a time to listen carefully when in conversation with loved ones. You will want larger or more lavish living quarters. Tonight, the meanings of your heritage and formative years can be of interest. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. You feel the urge to travel. A new vehicle, even a bicycle, could seem to fit your needs. Write emails or make phone calls. Be patient with a neighbor or sibling. Others see you as a role model. Tonight, you prefer action to tranquility. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. You may have some financial promises to keep. Others depend on you for security on many levels. Break up your work with interesting side trips. Adding novelty and variety to your daily routine and obligations will renew your enthusiasm. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Your planet Neptune is sensitive, creative, and intuitive. You are able to use these traits to transmute negatives into positives today. Your charm and popularity are on the rise. Relationships strengthen. Others develop a deeper fondness for you. Tonight, exactly as you want it. Born today, artist John Constable, 1776. Explorer Jacques Cousteau, 1910. Comedian Gene Wilder, 1933.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.